First Peter chapter number 1. Brother Chris, you turn this thing on for me.
That don't sound very loud, but maybe it'll work. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We'll read a few verses here, beginning with verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice he calls the Christian people of his day strangers. You get to feeling sometimes kind of strange in this old world. I do. The longer that I live and look around at this old world and realize that there's a better day coming, I feel more like a stranger today than I ever have. And Peter addresses all the saints in his day as strangers. He says, scattered. This was a time of great persecution in the day that Peter was writing right here. And he was writing to encourage the saints of God to press on for God's glory. And some things that they would be going through. A lot of suffering going on, a lot of persecution going on at this particular time. But he goes on, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. He's reminding folks right there what an honor, what a privilege it is to be called a Christian. To be saved, born again. You know, if you think about where you used to be as a lost person and how Christ come to you, convicted you of your sins, drew you with cords of love, and when you cried out to Him, saved Him, that's something to rejoice about, isn't it? Something to be thankful for. I mean, He could have went and passed us by. And I look at a lot of folks that I used to run with that are still lost and undone. Sometimes I wonder why He come to me and why He had mercy on me and why His grace, why He reached out to me. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but I'm so thankful that He did. And I bless His name for that tonight. And I thank God for grace and I thank God for peace that He's writing about right here. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I remind you tonight, Jesus is alive. He's well. He's on the throne tonight. And He's coming to get us one of these glorious days. And I bless His name for that hope for the future tonight. No matter how dark the day and how bad this old world gets, we've got something to look forward to. We've got something to rejoice about. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice he says the trial of your faith. It's a lot different when I'm going through a trial. Amen? Hey, you know, we pray for folks in the prayer room. We see a lot of folks going through trials and troubles. But I'm telling you, when it gets personal, when it comes and hits me, friend, that's when I want to take notice and see what God's trying to tell me and teach me through my trials. And He certainly does that through trials in our life. He goes on and says in verse 8, He says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's talking to folks now that's suffering persecution. He's talking to folks that's going through great trials and tribulations at this particular time. But he said we can be happy through our troubles, and there's a joy that's unspeakable and that's full of glory for a child of God. He said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight, Lord. We pray, God, now, Lord, for your touch, God. We ask you, Heavenly Father, Lord, God, for unction of the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord. Pray, God, the Word of God would go out now to encourage Heavenly Father, Lord. We know, God, God, it'll accomplish what you sent it for, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your Word, Lord. Thank you for this day. Help our sick and needy tonight, Lord. God, those on our prayer list, they need you, Lord. And we bring them before the throne of grace and cast our cares upon you. We love you and thank you, God, for hearing us in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight I'm looking at verse number 8. He says, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. And that's what I want to look at tonight on this thought, on the glory road toward home. I'm glad tonight that Jesus called me by His grace. He justified me by His blood, and He has glorified me. Hey, I'm telling you something tonight. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir and joint heir with Christ, and if you've been born again, you are too. And what glory there is to know that you've been saved, that you're headed to this place that He speaks about right here, a place reserved called heaven. Amen. We ought to be a happy people. Hey, I know we go through troubles, we go through trials down here, but He said, having not seen you love, in whom though now you see not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We ought to keep ourselves filled with the glory of God. Amen. We ought not to go around with our lips poked out. And, as a child of God, we got something to be glad about. We got something to be happy about. And I know we go through a lot of troubles and things in life, but listen, friends, to look ahead. And that's what Peter's telling these people to do that's going through these troubles and trials. Don't focus so much on your troubles. Look at the promises that God has given us. The hope that we have. First of all, tonight, I want you to notice this right here. That we have a hope that's purchased. Purchased. We don't have a hope so religion. We have a hope that's sure. Amen? I don't hope so that things that this Bible right here is going to come to pass like it said, but I have a hope that it is. I mean, I'm sure. I'm sure that God's Word is going to be fulfilled just exactly like it's pinned down in this King James Bible right here. Notice this right here in Hebrews chapter number 6 with me. If you'll turn there, we'll look at a verse or two right here in Hebrews chapter number 6. He says this right here in verse number 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let me tell you something, friends. Tonight, we've got a risen Savior tonight. We have a hope. Hey, that's sure, that's steadfast, friend. Listen, we don't have a hope so, but we have a hope. A hope. A real hope. A real promise that's given to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He lives today, He's making intercession for the saints of God tonight, and He's coming for us one of these glorious days. Notice in Ephesians chapter number 2 right now. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says this right here. He says, wherefore remember, I'm talking about hope now that we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at where we were in the past. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen to this now. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we were in times past. And look in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Our past, hey, we were without hope, we were without Christ. But now, Jesus came and He paid a ransom for all of us. He paid a great price. He suffered. He took our sins upon Him. And let me tell you something, friend, now we have a hope that's sure and steadfast, anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And same for you if you've been born again. I thank God that He's in me tonight, and I'm anchored there. Anchored. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Peter number 3 right here, we have a lively hope. A living hope. Living hope. Amen. Christ is alive tonight, and I'm glad He is, and I'm glad I can call upon Him tonight. How about you? Amen. Notice this right here. Not only as He goes on in Ephesians right here, in chapter number 2, He speaks about the price. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. But in verse 14, our peace. He says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I'm glad that Jesus came to me one day. He saved my soul, and I have peace with God. But now I can have the peace of God. Amen? Calling upon Him, making my request known to Him, making supplication before God. And the Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 4 that the peace of God will keep me. Amen? Ain't you glad for the peace of God tonight in a world that's full of chaos and troubles, that as a child of God, we can lay our head down at night and we can rest if we've got peace with God. And the peace of God rests upon His children tonight. Hey, I'm glad I can lay my head down, and if Jesus comes back at 12 o'clock, if He comes back at 2 o'clock, hey, if the shout comes out at 3 o'clock, I'll just get up and go on home. Amen. I thank God for the peace. I'm glad we've got a hope that Christ purchased with His own blood tonight. And through that great hope, a child of God in times of struggles and trials and temptations, we can have the peace of God bought by the blood of Christ. And it passes all understanding. That's what He says in Philippians. You know, the world just can't figure us out. The world can't figure out folks that'll come to church on a Wednesday night. Folks can't figure out people that'll come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and while they out just enjoying the things of the world. But there's coming a day of reckoning one of these days. Amen. Coming a day when they're going to wish that they'd have got in church. They're going to wish that they'd obeyed the gospel call and got saved. Because, friend, there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And people are headed to one place or the other. I don't understand why people or how people can live their lives here and just act like they're going to stay here forever. And when I was a lost man, I worried about dying and going to hell. Hell's a real place. It worried me. It troubled me. And yet through my stupidity, I'd try to just put it off. Put it out of my mind. I kept trying. But there was nights I'd lay down, I couldn't sleep, afraid of dying and going to hell. And by God's grace, one day He called me, and He saved me when I cried out to Him. All right, our hope that's purchased that Peter is talking about right here, but notice this, our home that's prepared, back in 1 Peter chapter number 1 right there. He says this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm glad heaven is my home. Heaven is going to be my final destination. When my heart beats its last beat, when I draw my last breath, friend, there'll be somebody to usher me into that glorious place called heaven. I'm glad I have that hope tonight. I have that promise tonight. A home that's prepared. Jesus said He was going away and prepare a place for us. And He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't it wonderful to have that promise? To know that this old world right here, this is not our home. It's not our home. A lot of folks sitting in this place tonight have got a home somewhere. You're either making payments on it or you might have it paid for. But let me tell you something. If you don't pay your taxes on it this fall, you know what they'll do? They'll put it on the auction block and they'll let somebody else have it. Amen? This old world's a mess. You come into this world with nothing, you're going to leave it with nothing. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that you've done for God, that's the only thing you can take with you. Amen? I have a home prepared. It's a real place. And it's a ready place. Jesus done fixed it up. It's a reserved place. Amen. He says right here, it's reserved in heaven for you, child of God. For you. Now, me and Sheila went on a trip the other day, and I called ahead to a place I'd never been in before, and I made reservations on the phone. You know, when I walked up to that desk up there, and I said, I'm Mike Rollins. I've got reservations here. They said, well, let me see. Let me see. You know, they had it on record, but now it was a possibility that they could have lost that record. But now I'm telling you something, God's got a record. Hey, He's got a place that's prepared for His children. He's got it reserved for us in one of these glorious days. All the redeemed going to march out of this old world and head toward home. Wonderful thought, isn't it? Amen. Not only is it a real, ready, reserved for the redeemed, it's a restricted place. Restricted. Amen. You know what I done when I got in that motel room the other day? First thing I done when I walked in, set my luggage down, turned around and locked the door. Because I don't know what kind of thugs might be hanging out at that place. Amen. Right. But let me tell you something, friend. We headed to a city where there'll be no locks on the doors. There ain't nothing that defiles going to enter into that place. It's going to be prepared for God's children, and God is ruling and reigning over that place, and nothing's going to enter in there that's wicked or evil or defiled. There'll be no sin, no sorrows, no sickness over in that land. Home. That's home. Our home is prepared. Home that's restricted. The devil won't be there. He's wreaked havoc throughout this old world right here. He's got people mentioned in the prayer room about a boy 18 years old stabbing his mama 11 times. You think the devil ain't in that? He's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you, he's doing his job well. But I'm glad we're headed to a place that he won't be there. He'll never be there. I'm glad I'm headed to a place where I'll never have to fall on my face. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Never again. Never again. All that'll be gone in this place that we call home. It's real. It's a restricted place. I'm glad in this thought of reserved, you know, when I called up here and reserved that motel room, Brother Lee, had to make a check-in time, a date, an arrival date. You know what? We've all got an arrival date. We got a date that we're going to be checking out of here and checking in there. Amen? Don't know when it is, but I got reservations, though. I got reservations. And I'm checking out of here and checking in over there one of these days. It ain't going to be no checking out over there. I'm going to be there to stay. Amen. It's a real place. It's a restricted place. But let me tell you, it's a rejoicing place. Rejoicing. You know, you think about all the troubles in this old world right here. You watch the news on TV. It's depressing. Amen. This world's in chaos. No man can fix the troubles that's going on in this old world today. We have elections. We put people in office and they make all these wonderful promises. They know all the answers till they get a hold of it. Amen? Man cannot fix it. But we're heading to a city where everything's fixed. It's going to be a place of rejoicing. There'll be no tears in that place. No sad farewells, no sorrows, no sickness. You look over in Revelation chapter number 5, they over there singing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb to sing, to receive honor and praise and glory. Because He suffered and He died for our sins and He prepared a home for us. And we'll be over there one of these days where all the sorrows and things of this old world won't be there no more. And we can rejoice over there, sing praises to the Lamb that paid our sin debt and, He opened up a way to glory for you and I. Let me tell you, ain't a one of us in here that deserved it. Not a one of us. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but by His blood. By His blood. By Him leaving glory, coming into this old world, taking upon the flesh of a man and going up Calvary's hill there and suffering there and God laying all the sins of the world upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, my sins was on Him that day and your sins was on Him that day. And you think you'll be quiet when you get to heaven, friend, and you see the glory that's over there that's prepared for you and me. Let me tell you something, those of you that ain't never uttered a shout, I guarantee you, you'll be praising Him and you'll be thanking Him that you're not in a devil's hell without any hope over there. Oh, let me tell you something. And hell is full of people. Hell is full of people tonight that passed up the opportunity to be saved, to enter into that home on one glorious day when He appears. Our home is prepared. What a day of rejoicing that'll be. Bible says in Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boy, we just have to march through this old life not knowing what's going to happen next. Job said, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We don't know what's coming next. But I do know what ain't a going over there. Troubles ain't going to follow us to that city. Thank God for that. Our hope that was purchased, our home that's prepared, but our heaviness that's predicted. I don't like these verses right here, but it's necessary for us to realize that there are going to be some heavy times in life. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. He says in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoiced, though now for a season. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold or various temptations, various trials, various troubles that's going to come our way. Manifold temptations. You know, there's great trials that you and I face in life. Great troubles. Brother Ken, this ministry has been going on 25 years. And you could fill a book up looking at people's lives and the troubles, the trials that they've gone through. And God says, if need be. Sometimes God will send a trial to us to correct us, to draw us closer to Him, to make us lean upon Him more. God knows what we need. If we need a trial to bring us closer to Him, if we need a trial to correct us, pain, grief, whatever it takes, He knows what's best for us. And He's given us this verse right here, these two verses right here, to draw strength from. Trial, great, manifold, He says right here. But I'm glad over in chapter number 4, you know something else that's manifold? The grace of God. He said we're to be ministers of the manifold grace of God. In other words, if you're going through a trial, I'm to have a burden for you. I'm to help share the manifold grace of God to you in your trial and try to help you. And if I'm going through a trial, if I'm burdened down, if I'm in heaviness, friend, it's your duty to help me through my trial as a child of God. He's given us grace, and we're to be ministers of that grace that God has given us, because we need grace. Amen. There's manifold trials, but there's manifold grace that He speaks about. Thank God for grace tonight. Our heaviness is predicted. Trials, but notice this, a trusting. Do you trust God? I'm glad we got a God we can trust. I'm glad that God is faithful to His Word. I'm glad we got a God that we can call upon in our trials, in our troubles, and we can trust God. He says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. We can trust His Word. We can know that even when heaviness comes upon us and trials comes upon us, and we feel like that sometimes, hey, anybody here ever felt like that God just ain't hearing your prayers? You ever been in a trial and you felt like God just was way off somewhere and you couldn't touch Him? Well, He's working in your life. He's as close as He's ever been. He knows what's going on. He's ever-present help in a time of trouble, and you can trust Him. You can trust Him. He's working things for His glory and for our good. Always. You know, a lot of times in our trials, our faith gets weak, don't it? Faith gets weak in our trials. But how much we trust God through it, It's gonna either grow our faith, or if we don't trust Him, we can weaken our faith. We have to trust Him, call upon Him, cast our cares upon Him, and know that He cares for us. Amen. And notice this, not only in our heaviness is predicted, our trials are manifold, our trusting, we know that God has a motive for our trials. But our testimony is manifested. You know, if I'm going through a trial, Brother Mike Rollins, I've named the name of Christ. I'm identified with Christ. I'm a child of God. And how I handle my trials is going to be a testimony to others. Amen? It's going to be a testimony to someone somewhere. Trials are going to come. If you study the Word of God, you're going to see that some of the greatest saints of God that's pinned down in your Bible went through great trials and great troubles. Job was a man that was upright. And you read the book of Job, it's about Job's great trial and Job's great trouble. But Job made the statement that he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job was saying, I'm going to trust God through my troubles, through my trials. I don't know why all this is happening to me, but he said, I know I'm going through a great trial, and if I just trust Christ, I'll come through as gold. You know, I used to work in a dental lab, and we used to cast a lot of gold and make gold teeth. You know, in the process of melting that gold, we'd put it in a crucible. We'd light a torch, put that flame on that gold, turn up the heat. You watch that gold, and all of a sudden it'll turn liquid. And if you look at it with a torch on it, there'd be a skim over the top of it. Any impurities would rise to the top. And we had some stuff that was called a refiner's flux. And when that impurities come to the top, and we held that flame on there, you'd sprinkle a little bit of that flux on there, and it would just, it'd disappear. And that gold would shine like a mirror. Hey, I'm glad tonight that when God puts His children in the fire, hey, He's working something for our good to purify us and to make us shine, hey, as lights in this old dark world today, if we'll just trust Him. He's working for our good. You remember when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt? They got out there a short distance away, and old Pharaoh decided he wanted them back. So he went out pursuing them, And you know they didn't get very far. They came up, they was cornered out there at the Red Sea, and they were saying, well, boy, it'd been better if we just died back in Egypt. But Moses said, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. For these Egyptians that you see today, Pharaoh and his army, tomorrow you'll see them no more forever. I'm glad one of these days, tomorrow, hey, we'll see no more trials forevermore. You'll find it all through the pages of your Bible, friend. God's people's always gone through fire and troubles. The Hebrew boys, when they was cast into the fire because they wouldn't bend and they wouldn't bow, they were cast into the fire. But guess what? God was already in the fire waiting on them. Hey, let me tell you something. God may send you through some fiery trials here, but He'll never let you go through it alone if you'll just lean upon Him. Trust Him. You know what? They could have said, boy, we better bow. We better go to dancing to this old boy's music. He's fixing to throw us in the fire. But they wouldn't do it. They put their trust in God. And He delivered. Same way with Daniel. Daniel knew what the consequences would be if he didn't obey the old king's decree. But he went to his room and he prayed towards Jerusalem 3 times a day, just like he'd always done. They come, got him. Carried him to cast him into the lion's den. And let me tell you something, friend. I don't find where Daniel scuffled with him. He didn't beg for mercy, friend. He put his trust in God. When he hit the bottom of that pit, friend, the lions had their mouths shut. God was there to shut the mouth of the lions. He's one you can trust. Amen? He's one that we can trust. Go on through your Bible. Look at him. Hey, let me tell you, when Elijah fled from Jezebel, God delivered him, didn't He? Yes. Amen. Oh, there's so many things in the Word of God that we see we can draw strength from in our trials. Our heaviness is predicted. Trials are going to come. How are you going to come through your trial? What kind of testimony are you going to have? You know what? Trials that we go through, God delivers us through them. We may see a brother or sister facing the same thing someday. We can help them. We can minister grace to them. We can tell them how God helped us through these trials and delivered us. Our hope that's purchased, Peter talks about it. Our home that's prepared, he reminds us of that. Our heaviness that's predicted. But lastly, we'll look at this right here. Our happiness that's profound. The world can't figure out Christians. How can we be happy when we don't go, when we don't go to the bar room and the things that the world's got going on for them? Boy, they think we'll stick in the mud, but I'm telling you what, I'm happy. I'm happy tonight. But I know what it's like to be lost and a heartbeat out of hell. And now I know what it's like to be saved and a heartbeat out of heaven. Amen? I've got something to rejoice about tonight. The joy that's unspeakable and full of glory right here that Peter is talking about right here. It's deep. It's mysterious. It's hard to explain, but when you've got the hope that Christ has laid out for His children, when you've got the peace of God that passes all understanding, and there's joy, joy, joy in knowing that you're a child of God. You've got something to rejoice about. Rejoice, he says, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, with sin, it's a burden. To be burdened down with sin, it'll steal your joy. But let me tell you something, friend. To know that you're a child of God and this joy unspeakable that Peter's writing about right here, knowing that God loves us. We love Him because He first loved us, don't we? Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? You were unlovable. Amen. In my eyes, in man's eyes, we were so guilty, we were so defiled, we were We were so defiled with sin. How could a God love us? But He did. He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins. Our happiness is profound. It's deep. It's unexplainable. Because of our love for Christ, our trust for Christ, our rejoicing in Christ. You know, every day of your life, every day, you've got something to rejoice about if you're a child of God. You've got something to be thankful for. Because whatever comes your way, He's there. And our faith, He said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Thank God for faith. Thank God. I thank God that He dealt to me a measure of faith when I was lost. I knew I was lost. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell. I had that much faith, Brother Lee. And I knew that Jesus was one that folks had called the Savior. That's about all I knew. Except I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. And so that little bit of faith, when God convicted me and began to draw me, that little bit of faith caused me to cry out to Him one day, Brother Lee. And when I did, just immediately God saved my soul from hell. And it's amazing what a little faith will do, isn't it? Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, "A little faith will take your soul to heaven. A little faith will take your soul to heaven." But I like what he went on and said. He said, "But great faith will bring heaven to your soul." God wants us to enjoy life. Amen. He wants us to be a happy people, sharing the gospel as we go through life. Through our troubles, through our trials, through our good days and through our bad days. We need to rejoice and let people know whose side we're on. Amen. Amen. All right, I appreciate your attention tonight. Appreciate the Word of God.